Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited about this next segment that we're going to be bringing you guys. Communication expert and author Bob Path is with us today. He's here to discuss his book, Communicating to Win, in Life, Love, and Business. We're going to be able to talk to Bob not only about his own journey in life, but what it's been like for him to share and encourage others, as well as what he hopes his book is able to do for all of you. Bob, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live. Glad you could join us today.
Cyrus, thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Hey, excited to have you on with us, Bob. You know, I recently posted my review on Amazon.com of the book, and we'll be reminding our listeners later how they can get it. But the thing that really struck out with me when I was reading the book is how, you know, really I think communication, and you even say this in promoting the book, communication is one of those things that all of us do in one form or fashion, but the question is, are we doing it well? And what the book really, I think, helps people to see is that it's not just something that we do at home well or do in business well, but it's something that we can be able to do in all aspects of our life. Is that one of the things that you hope that people would take away from it?
Yeah, I think ultimately, Cyrus, this is a message of empowerment. You know, the foundation of everything that we do is communication, but yet the irony is no one teaches us how to communicate. You think about it. If you're one of the lucky ones and your parents taught you social graces, please and thank you and things like that, then, again, you're one of the lucky ones. But no one really teaches us. And I'm going to dial us all the way back to elementary school and throughout our life. No one teaches us how to communicate. You know, some of us are wise enough, and maybe we take a Dale Carnegie course or something like that to then help us. But because we don't have that primer in communication skills, we get into difficult relationships, business, interpersonal, marriages, dealing with our children, and we don't know how to navigate. We don't know how to navigate, and that's really the foundation of everything that we do, and it's because of that void where all the problems come in.
Exactly. You know, and that's one of, again, one of the great things we're able to see in the book. And, Bob, you actually are very transparent with the reader throughout the book about your own journey, about your own life, and how, you know, the things that you have been able to discover as well as learn about yourself are things that have helped you to be the person that you are today. You know, do you think that has been one of the great things about your life, is that you have been able to, instead of seeing things as failures or a loss, you see them as opportunities and ways to be able to be the person you were meant to be?
Yeah, I'm not an academic, and so I didn't want to write a textbook. And when we wrote this book, and it was a journey of a number of years, my successes and my failures, we really wrote it as a handbook. And so I'm delighted that people are taking it with them on the train and on the plane and in the car and in their purse and in their briefcase, and they're referring back to it. Because I'm getting folks to say, one woman in particular in Savannah, Georgia now said, hey, page 38 really hit me hard. And so what I do is the transparency, it's the stories that really resonate, Cyrus, with people. It's not the facts and the figures and the statistics, because they're easily forgotten.
Right.
But it's the stories that resonate, as you know, and connect. And so I did not want people to take this up and say, oh, what does he know? You know, he's an academic, or he only talks about it, or this is the textbook. I share my stories, as you said. I don't mention names. It's insignificant. I even mention that the details are not important. It's more the journey. So when people look at me, listen, my greatest failures, and Steve Harvey asked me this 2 years ago. He said, Bob, what are the three most important things to you? And I said, my faith, or my family, my faith, and my failures. And the failure part stopped him in his tracks. And he said, tell me more about that. And I said, well, Steve, you get knocked down 7 times, you've got to get up 8. Mm-hmm. So, again, another point in the book is you've got to keep going. And I want people to look at me and say, you know, this guy looks like somebody told me this morning, you've got it all together. Things are perfect. As you know, perfection is an illusion. It may be a goal, it just may be a goal, but it's an illusion. So I wanted to be able to bleed a little bit and let people connect to my personal struggles.
Exactly. And I think that's what you encourage us to do. You mentioned, the conversation with Steve. And when I was watching a video, actually, where you referenced that, Bob, I thought about chapter 4 of the book. And for those who don't have it yet, make a note of that, because I think you guys will really get a lot out of this chapter. The chapter is Embracing Adversity. And this is what you wrote for those who have the print edition of the book, Bob, on page 32. One of my favorite talks is called Embrace Your Adversity. I like to call the challenging moments the wake-up moments of life. And then you go on to say this. There was a 3-year period where I saw no less than the end of a marriage, personal misfortune in business, and the death of my only sibling, all to them be faced with the prospect of redefining myself. Some of these hardships are never faced over the course of one's lifetime, yet I had the pleasure of them being delivered all at once, most without warning. And then you wrote this as far as looking at it. You said this, adversity in my own life has caused me to reach out not only for explanations, but also for sources of guidance and emotional support. We all have had those mornings when we would just love to pull the covers over our heads, hit the alarm clock, and call it a day, never getting out of bed. While that refuge does provide a temporary respite, it's never the answer. Some days, the only thing to get you motivated is the knowledge that others are counting on you for their very own direction. So what I thought about when I was prepping for this segment with you, Bob, is that it is so interesting that someone, as I mentioned, you're a communications expert, you're a motivational speaker, you're an author, you are a person that has been able to inspire so many people, to allow them to see the best of themselves. Has that been part of what's kept you accountable in your own life?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they're really, when you look at it, and I talk about this a little bit in the book as well, I don't think we're afraid to fail. I think we're afraid to succeed. Failing is just stopping. Succeeding takes work. Show me anyone who's successful, and I'll show you someone who's endured great pain, emotional, financial, whatever it is. But I don't think that there are truly any failures if we look at it, if we embrace it that way. I think what all of these things are life lessons. And you have to, I have 6 children. And so you have to hang on to whatever it is, Cyrus, that gets you through. And it may be the next hour, the next day. And so in my darkest, deepest moments of, wow, this is not the way I envision my life. Listen, I was the guy who's going to have the white picket fence and the dog and the 2 kids and church on Sunday and all that kind of stuff, because I came from a broken home. And I swore, I wouldn't be the cheater my father was and all those things. Well, life doesn't work out that way. Eckhart Tolle talks about in the book, The Power of Now, that life is tough. This is hard stuff.
Right.
And so at some of those darkest, deepest moments, I would see my 12-year-old daughter, Isabel, looking at me and encouraging me and supporting me. And whatever it is, Cyrus, that gets you through, you have to, and believe me, when I talk about the death of my only, I'm an orphan. I'm in my 50s, I'm an orphan. My only sibling is deceased, my parents are deceased. Yes, I have 6 children who, the older ones have their own lives. And they don't wake up every day, and some of your listeners may be out there thinking, the kids are entitled to their own lives.
Right.
LeBron tells us that kids are not even really our own. And so they don't wake up every day calling dad, worrying about dad, nor do I want them to, nor do we want them to. So you have to hang on to those moments, and you also have to get to the core of your essence. You have to think about, what did God put me here for? What's the message? What are my skill sets? What am I supposed to be doing? And I spent a lot of contemplative time in church or alone, really, really drilling down and thinking about that.
Right. I think that is one of the amazing things about it. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Bob Pfaff is our guest today. He's a communications expert as well as the author of a book that I had the opportunity to read. We'll tell you how you can get it a little bit later. It's called Communicating to Win in Life, Love, and Business. I believe, and I tweeted you about this recently, Bob, one of the most poignant parts of the book, and I can really relate to this, because I think so many times as you mentioned, what you saw for yourself as far as life, a lot of times we then, project that on other people, our idea of what success is. We want that for those, especially those that we love. And there's a moment that you talk about in the book, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about, where your son comes to you and says, that's not necessarily what he wants. What you want, what you have been able to achieve, may not necessarily be what he wants for himself. And you talk about in the book, and I think in various ways, but I really thought about it at that point, was the importance importance of being yourself, whatever that is, and not allowing yourself to be judged by other people or even setting that as your marker. How important has that been for you for, you know, not just what people perceive as success, Bob, but in your just being happy with yourself?
Well, you know, I'm grateful to have come to this even later in life. I mean, again, life is a journey, and some folks never arrive at this point. But you're right. It was my son Taylor who actually came to me a few years back, and he looked at me, and this is the moment when parents hold their breath, when your children come to you and say, "I need to tell you something." And so, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, is he coming out of the closet? You know, is he going to tell me he's gay? Is he going to ask me for money? You know, we go through sort of those normal things. And this is a child who had been with me when his mom and I divorced. You know, he decided he was going to come live with me at 12 years old. And now he's 28. He'll be 29. And he looked at me, Cyrus, and he said, "Dad, I don't want your life." And it was a riveting and pivotal moment because I looked at him. Sometimes the words, I don't even know where the words come from. I sort of refer to myself as a messenger. You know, I'm sort of doing God's work here and just putting it out there, and I think that's my purpose. And I said to him, "Taylor, I don't know that I wanted my life, but I've made the most of my life. You know, this is not, as I just mentioned to you, this is not what I planned. This is not what I planned, but now it's what I'm supposed to be doing." We are, and I talk about this in the book as well, we are where we're supposed to be in life, but it is really embracing those quiet moments. I have so much respect for my son coming to me. Think about that, Cyrus. You talk about communications and teaching people things. You know, I said to him, "Taylor, I don't know that I, you know, wanted my life the way it is now. I've made the most of it, but," and this was the big but, I said, "if you can come to me and feel comfortable having this conversation with me, then I've done something right. You know, I've done something right as your father, as a communicator, that you feel strong enough, confident enough, empowered enough that you could come to me without feeling, think about this, without feeling or worrying about," and I talk about the book in a little diagram, "everything that we do," and Gandhi said this, and I didn't realize Gandhi said this until a couple months ago, "is based in fear." So that young man could have come to me and thought, "My dad's going to yell at me. He's going to punish me. He's going to, you know, whatever. What do you mean you don't want my life?" But I had so much respect for him. And that's what others can do as well, Cyrus, is to learn to sort of let go of that fear. You know, we're programmed early on. We are products of family of origin, and we're products of relationships and all of those things. And it just builds over time. It builds over the years. And we need to break it down, you know, piece by piece. And so, yes, I mean, that was the moment that sticks with me, and obviously I put it in the book.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and I'm someone who, I don't have any children of my own, Bob, but I think, you know, anyone who, you know, can be that honest, and I think that's one of the big keys to life, I think, is living honestly, but with ourselves as well as with others. And I think that in itself, you know, has to be, you know, such a liberating thing. There's another thing that you mentioned actually early in the book, and it's in, I think it's chapter 2, Bob, and I wanted to make sure that I got this in as well. I mentioned the word earlier about success. And that chapter is actually called Defining Success. And you say this, and I think it's another thing for us, and I thought about your journey and what you're doing today. You wrote this on page 16 of the book. "With a world that bombards us with minutiae every second of every day, it is easy to become distracted and lose sight of what really matters. It is also challenging to stay focused on your strengths and passion." And so what has been the key for you as you've kind of gone through life, gone through, you know, the valleys as well as, of course, being able to reach the mountains in your life, Bob? What is it that has helped you to not lose sight of the things that are really important?
The first word that jumps out of my mind when you ask me that question, you know, when I went through my first divorce, I would drop my kids off and was in the first pew at 8 o'clock mass every morning, asking for the reasons why. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I let people know that. So my faith is very, very important to me. And so the other thing too that, in the last month or so since the book came out January 1st, we've all heard the expression, "Go through a divorce and you find out who your friend." I want to add to that. I say, you want to find out who your friends are, write a book. Mm-hmm. We spend more time, Cyrus, purging our wardrobe, planning our vacation, than we do purging the people in our lives whom we've outgrown. I believe everybody that we come in contact with in our life is meant to be on this journey. I believe you and I were meant to connect. But not everybody that we meet is meant to stay for the long haul. They're not meant to be here for the end. And so what I say is you thank them, you bless them, but here's what you need to do. You need to grab the lesson. So often people talk to me about where's my inspiration come from. My inspiration comes from life, not from following other motivational speakers, because I don't. While I respect them, I don't want to channel their message. But there's inspiration, Cyrus, all around us in everything that we see on a daily basis. And yet most of us are sort of just going through the motions of life. Yet we're not looking at those things, and we're not embracing those things, and we're not incorporating those things.
Right.
And so I think to live an authentic life, you know, again, sometimes, and it's hard. It's the devil you know for the devil you don't, right? So you're in a relationship, interpersonal, or you have friends that are problematic and they're difficult. Well, but you know how to navigate that. I would argue that you just need to move on. You just need to find those positive lights, those positive resources and sources and energy forces in your life that will help take you to that next level. And it's been an eye-opener for me. It's been a cruel lesson in some cases, but the key word there is lessons. You know, all of the things that we experience in our life are lessons. If we choose and if we're able and if we're ready to embrace that. For a long time, Cyrus, I thought, well, everybody has to see it my way. And I finally got off of that. And I thought, the message here of communicating to win is not to be like me. It's to be the best you.
Right.
And whatever that means, you know, whatever that means in your life is really, I want to help people let go of the things that hold them back. And success is a relative term, as you know. For some people, it's a lot of money. It's a fancy car. It's a big house. It's whatever. But the beauty of this message that we're finding out in the way people are embracing it, people are coming to me on a daily basis, because this message is universal. It crosses socioeconomic, political, racial. I mean, it crosses every line. Who doesn't want to communicate more effectively? And who doesn't want to communicate to win, again, being a relative term? So you look at politics, you look at religion, you look at everything that we do in this life, and again, I go back to the foundation of this book and the foundation of my message. It's a message of empowerment. Communication is the foundation of everything that we do in this life.
Exactly. I think that is it. It is all about communicating. And, you know, I think, as we said earlier, Bob, as I mentioned earlier, it really begins with you. And I think that's another thing that you talk about. Chapter 11 is the final chapter I want to discuss. So I want to say again, for those who are just coming in, you're listening to Conversations Live. If you're joining us online, we're going to tell you a little bit later how you can be able to catch the replay of this conversation completely for free after we go off the air. But Chapter 11 is one of those chapters that I think everyone needs to keep in mind, Bob. And it's begin with the end in mind. You know, it is so interesting to me. I have met people over the years on this program who, you know, have said that they really start to live when they really discover who they are and what they were meant to do. And I think so many times we kind of go through life not knowing. We just react. We don't really know, you know, who we are, what we want. And so we don't get there because we don't know. And so how important has it been for Bob Path to keep the end in mind and then, of course, to be able to help others by guiding them to that realization too?
Well, I think what we do, you touched on this, and I put it this way. We spend a lifetime putting out fires. You know, we move from one tragedy or one calamity or one event to another. And even in marriages, you know, we run on parallel tracks. Our lives are lived vicariously through our children, or maybe they're lived, if you don't have children, maybe your life is, you know, through your work or whatever it is. And so it's been a catharsis for me, you know, writing the book, experiencing this, experiencing the pain, experiencing the rejection, experiencing the denial and the wake up when we've all had this experience, I think, where you get support from folks maybe you least expected it. And for those that you thought that would really rally around, those who really had your back, you get nothing.
Right.
And I think it's so easy, Cyrus, to become bitter. And, you know, and I've had those moments. That goes back to the transparency. But this is people talk about divorce and going through in death, You know, you go through the grieving process. You go through the anger process. You go through denial, all of those things. Life is the same way. And I think we go through those steps. We go through those processes. And then we hopefully, and this is my goal for everyone, we reach that point of understanding, of peace. I know, and I'm very, very clear, and I'm very grateful, and I'm very thankful that I understand now at this age what I'm supposed to do with my life. I really do. And it's never been about fame and fortune because I don't have any of that. It's really about, sorry, it's the private messages I get every day. It's the phone calls I get every day. It's the emails I get every day. Yesterday from a photographer in Los Angeles who said, reading your book changed the way I've lived my life, and it's changed the way I do business. That's what it's about for me, Cyrus. This is not a message about Bob Papp. You know, my picture's on there, yes, because, as you know, we're a visual society. We want to connect with the messenger.
Right.
You know, I want people to feel part of this, Cyrus. This is, for me, a movement. This is a movement. You look at life and you look at what's going on around us, and you can either complain about it, you can sit on the sidelines, or you can get in the game. And I've been an athlete all my life, and I've coached. I've got four boys, and I want to be in the game. But I want others to be in the game with me. You know, we jokingly say, lead, follow, get out of the way. Either option is acceptable, but choose one. You know, what's your position going to be? And I choose not to surround myself with complainers, with people who are negative, with people who try to bring me down. And that's the other thing that we talk about is I think the higher you get, the more clarity you receive. I'm not going to say, you're not hearing me say the more successful you become. The more clarity you receive and the more firm you become in your convictions, people will try to knock you down.
Right.
Because we do talk about this. People want you to be successful but not more successful than they are because we're all dealing with our own personal pain and our own agonies. And we all think that our story and our situation is worse than everybody else's. Oh, you don't understand. And I tell people, don't walk in my shoes. Don't walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in your shoes.
Right.
You know, we hear these things and they're so trite that, oh, walk a mile in my shoes. Why should somebody want to walk a mile in my shoes? You know, my goal for my children is to have seen my walk and then perhaps take a different one. And you had sent me a message before about the tragedies in our lives defining us or destroying us. And I think we all reach that fork in the road. And that fork in the road, you know, is which way do I go? I can allow this to cripple me, to bring me down, to disable me, to all of these things, or I can go this way and I can do something with it. It is the road less traveled. It is the road less traveled. It's fraught with criticism and ridicule and all these things, but you've got to keep going. This is tough stuff. This is tough stuff. I mean, I wrote about a lot of things, but there are other things certainly in my life and things that people deal with on a daily basis that I'm willing to get up on stage. I've been known to cry on stage.
Yeah.
You know, I've been known to talk about my children's battle with mental illness or other diseases or other things that have happened to me. I put it out there because I want my audience to connect with the message and to feel that they're not alone. That's the key as well. You're never alone. While you may be lonely, you're never alone.
Exactly. Exactly, especially when we have examples like what you've been able to give us in the book, Bob, for sure. Again, everyone, Bob Papp is our guest. We've been discussing with him his new book, Communicating to Win, in Life, Love, and Business. Really not only talking about Bob's own journey, but really all of our journey and how we can become better communicators in all areas of our life, including, of course, in beginning with ourselves, for sure. Bob, how can our listeners stay connected with you as well as get the book for themselves?
Very easy. The website is my own name, so it's just www.bobpaff.com. That will take your listeners to the book, or bobpaff.com/CTW. So CTW, Communicating to Win, book is the brand, and you know. I love to hear from listeners. Cyrus, when I talk all the time, I'm on stage. I tell people to reach out to me. The other thing about me is you know, just I don't have a fan page, and so people are always amazed that I'm accessible because I believe I'm supposed to be. You know, I believe that people are supposed to be able to reach out and connect, and so there's a level here that people are always surprised about. But, the website, and there are other things out there. I mean, major corporations, and I'm delighted, are coming to us now, Cyrus, because I love speaking to children. You know, my youngest is 12. My oldest will be 30 this year. And so I've got four in their 20s, and I've got a 14-year-old, and I've got a 12-year-old. And so, you know, I have six children. So I practice what I preach. I love speaking to children. I love going into schools because I was watching something on morning television. You know, a woman who just wrote a book, and it was about, it's helping women know their value. And she made a comment about, it's all about how we communicate. Of course, you know, I jumped on that. And
right.
I jotted that down, and I thought, Cyrus, think about this. Even in its most simplistic and most complicated forms, communication is the foundation of everything that we do from the second your feet hit the floor in the morning when you get out of bed. One of my most favorite talks is called Me, Inc., Treating Yourself Like a Business. And I was told, and this is an interesting, I'll try to make it a quick story. I was told, I was brought in by the government, the Veterans Administration, to give a talk to people returning from the war who were either in business or are about to start a business. So I go into this talk, you know, in my navy blue suit and my best shirt and tie, and I said, how many of you are going into business? And no one raised their hands. So I'm thinking, obviously, the next question, everybody's going to raise their hand. How many of you are in business? Well, guess what? Nobody raised their hand. So I found out that I was speaking in a transitional facility in Southeast Washington, D.C., to people who 2 weeks ago maybe had been living on a park bench, as my father did at one point during his life. And just like that, it hit me, and I said, well, if you're not in business, you need to treat yourself like a business. So from the homeless guy to the CEO to, you know, the stay-at-home mom who's going to get back into the workforce, you need to think about yourself as an entity, as a business. And then that leads to who's on your team. You know, who's going to help me get there? We all have those people, Cyrus. So if I had to say, who would you call when you were down and you're feeling lonely, or you need a connection, or you need a recommendation, who would you call? And that talk is who's on your team. Who are those people in our lives, the top two or three or five? And they're only going to be a few. You know, we all know that you're lucky in this lifetime if you can count your good friends on one hand, and that is an absolute true statement. There are a lot of pretenders in the world. There really are. And I don't mock them, and I don't knock them. The issue is they're all dealing with their own pain, but we as individuals need to see that. We need to understand. We need to stop taking things so personally.
Right.
Think about that. You know, somebody hurts your feelings or this or that. You don't know what they're dealing with. Let it go. One of my favorite expressions is, what others think of you is none of your business. Think of the significance of that. So, you know, if people don't like you or they don't, whatever their issues are, they're their issues. It's not your problem. You can't fix it. You can't change it. And you need not spend an ounce of time trying to do so. What we need to do, Cyrus, is be the best that we can be. We need to help others become the best they can be. And
right.
That's really, again, the core of this entire thing, is to let go of those fears. Be yourself. Be authentic. You're going to be laughed at. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be scorned. You're going to be ostracized. You're going to be eliminated. All those things are absolutely true, and I've experienced them. But it does not give you permission to stop.
Exactly.
And that's really the key. It does not. God doesn't want you to stop. It doesn't give you permission to stop. So if your children inspire you, if your spouse inspires you, if your parents inspire you, your siblings, whoever it is, whatever you've got to do to hold on to get you to the next day, to the next level, you have an obligation. I really believe this. You have an obligation to do that.
And you're hearing it from someone who definitely knows firsthand. Again, everyone, Bob Pfaff has been our guest for this segment. Make sure you guys get his book, Communicating to Win in Life, Love, and Business. Again, BobPfaff.com is the website for you guys to be able to go to. That's BobPfaff.com. Bob, thank you again so much for the time. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. For online listeners, if you guys came in late and missed part of the show, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you guys can catch the replay right after we go off the air. You can find a link on our social media pages at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.